sent her to the Powerlist, and Lucy Heller, the chief executive of ARC, an organisation that oversees the running of 18 academies in disadvantaged communities throughout the UK. She is responsible for a model of education that's said to be central to the present government policy. Well, I spoke to her earlier this morning. Her background was as general manager of the Observer newspaper and then joint managing director of TfL Education, the publisher of the Times Education Supplement. So what led her to work with underachieving urban children?
Well, I suppose my background wasn't directly with education, but partly I guess I'd have to say that my career has been a question of simply following whatever came up. I was a bit like the girl at a dance who dances with whoever asks her. Things come up and I follow my nose. It's fair to say I'd always been interest in education. When I was 11, I won a competition at the Observer by doing a survey on parents' attitudes towards comprehensive education, because I went to a comprehensive at a time when there was still in London a choice of grammars and comprehensives. So it was very political, and so it's always been an interest.
Now, ARC is very well regarded. What's the ethos that makes it so successful?
I think there are lots of things that go into it. I guess the key thing above anything else is about high expectations. That sounds like apple pie and motherhood. There aren't many people who are boasting about their low expectations in education. But what we hope to do is ensure that every child, and we're working in some of the most sort of challenging neighbourhoods in the country, every child has the support to make sure that when they get to 18, they have real choices. And that's because they have not just the qualifications, but the aspirational belief in themselves. I think it's quite tough if you come from a family where there's not just no experience of higher education, there'd be maybe no recent experience of paid employment in the family. You need to be able to see that that's possible.
So as chief executive, what personally do you bring to your success and, I suppose we should say, your power?
I think more than anything else, what I bring, I hope, is an ability to find, recruit, develop really good people, because it's a truism, but ARC is the result of the work of lots of people, and what we've got is a terrific group of people, and that's across the board.
Now, education has traditionally been dominated by women, although not necessarily in senior roles. How conscious are you of trying to achieve a gender balance among your staff?
I think I'm not specifically conscious of that, in the sense that the drive is always to find the best and the right people for the job. It's fair to say, though, that we've had to pursue a policy of affirmative action, but that's largely because we find it difficult to find men who can come up to the standards of some of the women in the group. We've got a heavy concentration of outstanding women, and that's in the schools and in our health and child protection projects. But the most important thing, I think, again, is to have the right mix. When you're talking about education, the important thing is for children to be able to see sort of role models of all genders, all races across the piece.
But if you're operating affirmative action, does that mean if you have two equally qualified candidates, a man and a woman, you would go for the man?
At the moment in the central team at ARC, yes, that would probably be true, simply because otherwise we've got an embarrassment of terrific women.
Who was your model early on?
I suppose that my first model would have been my mother, but the person in my career who's probably been most important, and it's very nice to be able to say something about her, is Caroline Marland, who I worked for when I was at The Observer. I was probably in my late 30s by then, but she was the first woman boss that I'd had, and she was great, and she did provide exactly the kind of role model that I was talking about, because having come from fields like banking, very sort of masculine fields, she was the first person I'd seen who was very visibly herself as a boss. She was a terrific boss, she was very driven, she was very good at what she did, but she also remained a person. She was stylish and funny and very kind and really committed to developing the people around her. And I think that was probably, again, the first time that I'd seen somebody who saw it as their job to develop people around her. And she's produced lots of people, both men and women, but I think particularly women, and the Guardian group was a stronghold for that.
And your mother?
My mother was not exactly a cautionary tale, but was the example of someone who was very bright, very competent and ambitious, but had got not waylaid, I mean, I don't think she would ever have regretted having children, but who didn't have the career that she felt was her due. So I think she put passionate energies into her children and making sure that we did.
And how did you manage not to be waylaid by your children?
I'm very happy to be waylaid by my children, and I think that's not my skill, that's more about the possibilities that have opened up now. So I think we're very lucky, and I think the professional women now have the luxury of choice. There's a lot of discussion about work-life balance. It still seems to me at the professional end, that's a luxury problem. In life, what you should aspire to is to have choices. Choices are difficult by their nature, and so there's no perfect balance, and having children and having work is always going to sort of present problems about how you do both, but how lucky to be able to do that.
What was the best advice you were ever given?
I'm not sure that I can remember any particular advice. I think it's not the specific advice, it's more the example that was set by people like Caroline Marland.
And how confident have you been in your own abilities? When I congratulated you earlier on being on the power list, you kind of went, oh, almost as if you were embarrassed by it.
Well, I think I probably, like many women, sort of shy away from the direct conversations about myself. I think I'm pretty confident in my abilities, but part of the joy of work is confronting yourself with things that you don't think that you can do and then discovering that you can.
And what is a piece of advice that you would give to, let's say, one of your 18-year-old students about to embark on a career?
I suppose I would say find the things that matter to you. And I've done lots of things and pursued a sort of apparently random path and found something that I feel passionate about. Find the things that you care about and do them well and be serious about it. I mean, take yourself seriously in that sense and thinking about how you want to develop that.
I was talking to Lucy Heller, Chief Executive of ARC and Powerless Member.